Today's scripture comes from Paul's letter to the young pastor, Timothy. Timothy is a delegate of Paul who is relatively young compared to those he was told to pastor. Paul is reminding the young Timothy that age does not mean wisdom and that he has a lot to offer the church. During our Youth Sunday service, let's remember the words of Paul to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12. Don't let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example for the believers in speech, in conduct, in love, and in purity. My friends, the word of the Lord.
Good morning. On November 1st, 2002, I was welcomed into the world at the hands of Dr. Myron Strickland, who delivered me, and I told my dad thereafter that there were not many babies like me who came out alive. See, I decided to begin my swimming career a little early, and I'd swum my own umbilical cord into a knot, but nonetheless, I came out happy and a healthy baby. Shortly after, on February 16th, 2003, I was baptized in this very church right there by Dr. Jay Coker. I decided to continue with the swimming thing when I was around 18 months old. I was with my siblings, Maggie and Jamie, who had somehow gotten a ball they were playing with in a small irrigation pond in our backyard. Doing my best to help, I waded in to retrieve the ball with my siblings, going to ask my mom for help. My action was to no avail. My mom found me face up in the water, managed to perform CPR on me until ambulances arrived and were able to save me and keep me alive. The Lord had kept a special eye on me, as life-saving miracles were ever present in my early life. The 23rd Psalm, verse 4, says, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, thou art with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." Looking back on it now, the biblical passage I learned with Larry Tony during my confirmation class seems to carry quite a bit of weight in my life. Two chapters later, in the 25th Psalm, verses 4 and 5, David writes, "Make me know your ways, O Lord. Teach me your path. Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. For you I wait all the day long." At First Pres, the path I have walked has been filled with amazing people and experiences that have strengthened my relationship with Christ. It is through the people of the church that I have seen God doing works in my life and the lives of others. Some of the most memorable experiences that I have with the church have come from my time in the youth group. Now, I'm not sure when it started, Christian Barkman would sing or shout the hymn "Holy, Holy, Holy" on Sunday nights, and that song became a staple of most youth Sundays. There's also the madhouse that was the church van whenever we took a trip in it. I can still quite vividly hear Austin Howell cackling when French fries mysteriously slid off the top of the van when Brian Pierce hit the brakes after a quick lunch at Big Dog's just down the road. My seventh grade year, we took a ski trip to Sugar Mountain, and I remember more things from the time spent at the lodges than the skiing itself. The group I had hung out with consisted of Scott Fincher, Alex Barkman, and Luke Howell, who I had all grown up with. We walked across a frozen pond that was near our lodge and gave a 4-inch thick piece of ice the name Bob, which we kept in the freezer, naturally. The majority of the trip was a blast, but the end was soured by the Green Bay Packers losing to the Seattle Seahawks in the NFC Championship. That night, I found solace in my mom's spaghetti. In my endeavors of high school, I accomplished many things that I take pride in. I began my competitive swimming career my freshman year, and in my junior year, I won the conference championship for the 100-yard breaststroke. I was the captain my senior year, where the men's team won the conference as a whole. I also helped start a lacrosse team at Cape Fear my sophomore year, and the bonds I made with those guys I know will last a lifetime. I finished this season making first team all-conference for midfield and second team for the 3A division. But amongst all of those accomplishments, none were greater than the team making it to the second round in the state playoffs in only the third year of the program. I really do look forward to seeing the development of the team as my favorite sport only continues to grow. Those are great milestones in my life. They stand behind my achievement of the rank of Eagle Scout. I joined Troop 745 in the summer going into my freshman year, and I honestly never believed I would make it Eagle. In July of 2019, however, my scoutmaster came with me with an agenda that would legitimately fast-track me to Eagle. And with only 16 months to spare before I aged out, we got to work hastily. I cannot express how rewarding it was to go to the Board of Review on December 12th, 2020, where I was officially confirmed to be an Eagle Scout. The members of the board congratulated me, and I walked out of that building with a title that would mean a great deal to a lot of people for the rest of my life. There are many unforgettable memories and important points in my life, but as much as this time is about reflecting on the past, it's also about looking forward into the future. In the fall, I will be continuing my education at North Carolina State University's Poole School of Management to major in business marketing. My roommate is from Hickory, North Carolina, and we connected over our interest in sports and lack of skill in golf. I'm looking to get involved in any intramurals I can, as well as meet all kinds of people, all kinds of new people who share the same love for the Lord as me. It can be troubling to be in a scenario where I know very few people around me, and I had to keep up with my own laundry every week, but I think I'm prepared to take care of myself and make plenty of these friends. Now take what I say next with a grain of salt, because I still have 4 years to decide exactly what it is I want to do. After I graduate, I plan on moving somewhere far away for a few years to experience more new people and make a name for myself where I have very little connections. After my expedition, I want to use my degree for a career in advertising. Once I'm on the path to success with my work, I want to start a family where I could be as successful as my parents in raising children with Christ and the love I received. And maybe I can be as lucky as my dad in finding an amazing wife whom I love dearly. I'm not going to act like I have my life planned out already, but I don't think that sounds too bad. Finally, I want to recognize a few people in and out of the congregation who have guided me and helped me as I grew up in the church. Ann Rowell, thank you for all of your kind words and hugs every Sunday in Eller Hall. Thank you to Brian Pierce for always being willing to help the youth and for nodding me in the right direction when it came to choosing a college. Go Pack. Thank you to my boss, Marshall Spain, for giving me the opportunity to work at Strickland's Portion Pack, where I was able to make my time during COVID more productive than before the pandemic. Thank you, John and Allison Campbell, for motivating me to achieve the rank of Eagle Scout. Pedro Fonseca and Frank Moody, who are my scout masters, thank you for working so hard to make sure that I was able to obtain my Eagle with challenges of time and a pandemic stacked against me. Thank you to Dr. Garrett for serving as a catalyst that developed my Christian faith. And most of all, thank you to my two amazing parents right there who have supported me and taught me what it means to be a child of Christ. This next chapter in my life will certainly be one of new experiences, unfamiliar faces, and difficult classes. But I always know that when I come home to First Presbyterian Church, I will be welcomed with open arms full of love. Thank you.
Well, that certainly did set the bar high. All right. Hello, my name is Bruce McRae, and you have probably heard me play my trombone just now over there. I do hope that that was a very good performance. Right now, in the back room just over there is Mr. Perkins, and there is a camera right there, and that camera is right now trained on my face. And its focus area is only about so wide. All right. I have been incredibly blessed to be a member of this church during my 4 years in Fayetteville. When I first arrived, what immediately struck me was how much the pastor looked like my science teacher at the time, from afar. Though I will confess I may not have been wearing my glasses that day, and upon looking at him now, I have no idea how I drew any resemblance between them. And the second thing that struck me were the people here, and how warm and opening and open and welcoming they were, and how warm and open and welcoming they still are today. Now, this being Youth Sunday, I think that the scripture that we chose a month ago in youth group is especially suitable. However, as I was writing this speech, I felt myself drawn to a different piece of scripture, And that piece is Matthew 5, verses 13 through 16, which is during the Sermon on the Mount, after Jesus has gathered all of his disciples together, and he is preaching to a great multitude of people. I should have bookmarked this. All right. Matthew 5, verse 13. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything, except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. And you are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden, and neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, such that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. One of the things that I love about this church is that it is filled with candles. There are all sorts of people here in this congregation who are able to show the glory of God. Those of you that have attended this church for any period of time know that this church places an emphasis on music, and there is a great many people who have played their instruments as I have. There was Mr. Holmes, who plays his trumpet, and Hudson, who will play his baritone later on. And Marsha, right there, she plays the organ almost every Sunday, and she does an absolutely fabulous job. And she's also teaching me piano right now. I'm not nearly as good at piano as she is. And the numerous vocal soloists who have performed who I could not even begin to name. And as a musician myself, I've been very blessed to be able to perform and share my light with you, though I admit that I'm nowhere near on the level of some of the incredibly talented people who are here. It is my belief that God blesses each of us with talent, and that we are to use this talent to glorify him and to spread his word. And I do hope that I have been able to accomplish that, even in some very small sense, during the time that I've spent here. I also want to thank you all for the warm reception that I have received whenever I perform. And I felt very honored several months ago and today whenever I managed to get a Presbyterian church to clap. And it seems in my experience that applause is something that is given very scantily. So the weekend that I played several months ago, I was at a repair shop, the Cape Fear Music Center, which is about a block over there. It's an absolutely wonderful place. And I was waiting for the repairman, and there was another man there who was getting a bass guitar repaired, I think. And he asked me if I knew Jesus. And I told him that I attended the church that was about a block over that way from where we were at the time. And then I told him that the bells that he had probably heard just about 10, 15 minutes ago were the bells of this church. And I've had the wonderful experience of being able to climb up to the bell tower and to see the bells, and they're actual bells. It's not a big speaker up there, as many churches seem to have. And the organ here, I've seen the pipe organ, and it's an actual pipe organ, and it is not just an array of speakers, as many churches seem to have. And I think that we are very blessed in order to have those. A favorite event of mine that could not happen this year is the performance of the Gloria by Vivaldi that this church hosts. When I first attended the performance, I noticed that the trumpet player was Larry Wells, who is a professor of music at Methodist University and a director of a youth orchestra, which I played in. The oboist was my middle school band director named Miss Jordan, and the first violinist was Monica Theriot, who is a wonderful musician and the mother of James Theriot, who is a very good friend of mine. He is a Mormon, and I've had many an intelligent talk with him, despite the fact that we disagree on many things, and I do wish that such a level of civility was the standard these days. The Theriot family also did a performance at the Christmas event that we had about a week or two before Christmas, with all the flashy lights and colors, and they offered it on DVD, but I don't know if anybody still has DVDs anymore. That might be after your time. The whole Theriot family was there, and all of them played violin except for the father, who played clarinet, and it was a wonderful performance, though I will say that I have mixed feelings about it. On one hand, it was a wonderfully executed event, thanks in no part to the diligent work of sound technicians like myself, and the musicians like Hudson, and it did a good job at conveying a message of hope and a good job at conveying the spirit. However, with all those lights and sounds and flashy things, it skirted very close to being a contemporary service. And as a good Presbyterian boy, I could not help but shudder at the thought of this church being a contemporary church, and then having these giant screens and the words of the hymn shown up there with a projector instead of having hymnals that we read from. I have nothing against such services if they help people find the Spirit, though I do believe that there is some value in tradition. It was Mahler, I think, a favorite composer of mine, that said that tradition is not the worship of ashes, but the preservation of fire. And this church has excelled at preserving the fire of the Spirit, and that's especially fitting since today's Pentecost. Mike Garrett has absolutely spoiled me with his sermons. He is a wonderful speaker, and it almost surprised me how reserved he is whenever he's not preaching, almost as though he is moved by the Spirit whenever he is up here giving a sermon. The content of his sermons is very well planned, and he ties it into more contemporary things. And he's one of the few people that I have seen makes theology in Star Wars. And Matt, as the youth minister who came here about 9 months ago, he freeloaded off of our property for about a month. I mean, he might have paid rent, but I can't quite remember. Let's see. Matt, as the youth minister, has done an absolutely wonderful job. The only complaint that I really have at this point is that he orders pizza for youth almost every Sunday, and there's only so much pizza that I can eat. It gives me heartburn. So, Mitch Watson has helped out with some family stuff, and he keeps bees, which is a hobby that I would have never expected from a person with the title of reverend. And some of you here helped him move into his new house about last week, or was it longer ago than that?
Last month.
Yes. And we learned a lot about Mitch and his family. And I'd also like to give my thanks to Mr. Perkins, who is my English teacher, who has done a fabulous job at teaching me to be a sound technician and has done a fabulous job at being an English teacher and has done a fabulous job at being a mentor in the Spirit. So tying all this back to the scripture that I mentioned, this church is filled with many, many flavors of salt and many, many candles, each of which has their own gift and each of which has blessed me. And all I ask is that you keep shining that light, each of you in your own special way, and that you nourish it. Now, I'm going to UNC Chapel Hill, which I've heard is a somewhat decent school, which some of you may have attended, and I intend to nourish my own light by studying music, so that I can better show God through my performances. After undergraduate school, I may pursue music further, or I may feel called to some other field. I may even decide to go to seminary and apply to Duke Divinity School. I don't quite know what I want to do for a living, and I will go as I am called. And that does not seem like the best place to end a speech, but that was all I had whenever I was writing it.
Sure, I want to present some of these, Mr. Duke.
Divinity School. Ooh, hello. So, real quick, it's not about me, but the running joke is when I graduated from Regent University and I was applying to seminary, I applied to Duke Divinity School. And to their dismay, they did not accept my application. So one Sunday night, we were talking about kind of overcoming adversity, and so I shared that story as an example. And the next Sunday, we were going over our highs and lows, and Bruce comes in and says, "So my high is that I found out I got accepted into another college," and I was over the moon. I was like, "That's awesome, man. That's awesome. That's incredible." He said, "Yeah, I'm pretty excited." I said, "Where is it?" He said, "Duke Divinity School." I said, "You can go. You can get out." So thank you for that, Bruce.
You're most welcome.
So on behalf of the scholarship committee, I get the honor and privilege of presenting a few scholarships. The Virginia Rose McFadden Scholarship is a merit scholarship awarded to those individuals who are active participants in the life of the church. This year, the recipient of the merit scholarship is Mr. Bruce McRae. Even though he has only been here for a short period of time, he has been very active. He's a senior at Terry Sanford and will be attending the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill in the fall. He attends worship service almost every Sunday, but you may not have seen him because normally he's behind the scenes working sound and visual, playing handbells, or, as we saw today, playing other musical instruments on the stage. He attended youth group prior to COVID-19, and I can attest is very active with the youth group now and has served on several youth mission trips. It's my honor and pleasure on behalf of the scholarship committee to present him with the Virginia McFadden Rose Merit Scholarship. This last paragraph isn't as long, so. The Ethel Johnson Highsmith Scholarship is available for those in our congregation who will be pursuing a college education. The scholarship committee is also pleased to present this scholarship to Mr. Bruce McCray. Now at this time, I would like to invite the seniors down to join with me in front of the stage. So could I have Hudson McFadden, Bruce McCray, and Michael Nevejas? Well, hello again. So as Bruce mentioned, I got here in September, so I've not been here for very long. But over these short 9 months, I have had the privilege and honor of getting to know each one of these seniors. And I got to tell you, gentlemen, you guys are literally going to change the world. This group of seniors, they're amazing young men who I can't take credit for the nurture. This is all you guys. The nurture that I've seen and the spirit and just God's love through these seniors is very inspiring. So I want to say thank you for allowing me to minister to these great men. On behalf of the church, we just want to tell you guys how proud we are of every one of you. We can't wait to see the difference you make in this world, what you do in life. And we expect many letters, many phone calls, and many returns. So, on behalf of the church, we have these Bibles to present you. Let's see if I can do this. So yes, take those, read them a lot and often. Like the old saying goes, a beat-up Bible is usually the sign of a good life. So that is my prayer for you all. Would you please join me in a round of applause for these graduates? Thank you, gentlemen.